I am amazed sometimes at my own ability to live in denial. Now, I've seen this in other people too, but I can't be critical of that because I see it in my own life. Let me just give you a life's observation and then let me walk you through. Maybe you'll react a little bit to this, but let me walk you through how I've seen this play out in my life. In my observation, as Americans, we have time and we have money for what we value. We have time and we have money for what we value, for what's important to us. And you might say, no, Jim, you know, I've always wanted that boat and I've never had it. But we have time and we have money for what we value. Let me explain. If you were to ask me, how's your time in God's Word going? I would probably mutter something out to you, and then I'd probably say something to the effect of, well, I'd love to spend more time in God's Word if I just had more time, you know? I don't have enough time. I mean, I got a full-time job. I have a family. I have a house. I have all this stuff going on. I just don't have enough time, right? You ever find yourself making those excuses? And then I'll go to the mailbox, and the latest edition of my Deer and Deer Hunter magazine will be in the mailbox. And I will have that thing read cover to cover in a week. Right? I sat down last night for a little over an hour and watched NASCAR's Budweiser shootout. Didn't blink an eye at that. Just sat down and enjoyed the whole thing. The kids were sleeping. They weren't bugging me. I could sit there and enjoy the whole thing. Didn't bat an eye at that, right? And so all of a sudden I have to ask myself, is it really an issue of time or is it an issue of what's important to me? Same thing goes with money. Last fall, a particular need came on my radar screen and for a family in this church. And I wanted to give to it. I wanted to help out with it. But you know, I knew it wasn't going to go away. I knew it wasn't an urgent need. It was going to be there for a while. And so I was kept justifying it, saying, you know, things are tight right now. We'll get to it. But I still had money to put gas in my van to go hunting. Still had money to get a hunting license. I still had money to go to Bass Pro Shop and get all the stuff I needed for that year, right? And so my observation is that we have time and money for what's really important to us. And so as we look this morning, again, as we look at this issue of time, talent, and treasure, and remember a couple weeks ago, Pastor Todd kicked us off, and he put this four-wheeler up here and gave a message on, you know, we are a steward bought with a price. I don't know who moved it this week, but it got moved this week to behind the pulpit, which is kind of scary. It looks like that thing's already like tear out of here. But Pastor Todd kicked that off, and then Jeff talked about the issue of we gotta steward our time and our talent and our treasures with eternity in mind. And he talked about the goal as being faithfulness. And how do we know how to steward our time, talent, and treasure? We invest time with God and we walk with Him. And last week we started talking a little bit more specifically about the issue of treasure. And if you were here with me last week, we talked about the issue of, we looked at the Old Testament principles about money and about giving, and we talked about the principle of the tithe. The tithe means a tenth. We talked about the issue of first fruits, and the issue of first fruits is to give God our very, very best. And I've really appreciated this week some of the feedback I've gotten through email of some of the questions you have as it relates to giving, and I'm going to talk a little bit about, I'm going to answer some of those questions this morning. But I've also discovered in that feedback that there's a lot of you that like, a lot more of you like lima beans than I realized. And I even discovered that Cape May, New Jersey has an annual lima bean festival. And it's coming this October 10th. So if you really like lima beans, you can check that out. Go online and Google it. I'm sure that'll be fun. So how do we deal with this issue of our own deceptiveness in our own hearts? You know what I mean? Like, I say I don't have time, I say I don't have money, and yet I have the time and the money for the things that I value. If you were challenged by last week's message, maybe you did what I did this week, and you thought, you know, it'd be really kind of cool to look at that issue of tithe more. And if you take that word tithe, and you were to look in your concordance in your Bible, or if you were to go online and use one of the online websites, Bible websites, or maybe you have Bible study software, and if you were to type in the word tithe and do a search for all the places that word tithe shows up in Scripture, you would discover a rather amazing thing. You would discover that the word tithe is not in the New Testament. Did you hear that? The word tithe is not in the New Testament. The concepts there are a little bit in that Jesus was somewhat critical of the Pharisees for the way they interpreted that. But the word tithe is not in the New Testament. So today what I want to do is I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I want to develop for you out of this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 some New Testament principles then on giving. Some New Testament principles. So this issue of time and money is so, so important because it defines what we value. It defines what we value. And just as a way of a public service announcement, okay, this is for you men. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Now all the ladies are rejoicing because now they are now without excuse. And is it not really easy for us to kind of come in here on a Sunday morning and get dressed up and we sing the praises of God and we can say, yay, we love God, right? But if we really love God, we'll not show up in our time and in our talent and in our treasure and how we spend those things. The same goes for our relationships, right? You guys, you can say how much you love your spouse all you want, but if you don't get a card tomorrow, at least a card and do something, we'll see how that works out for you. Okay? I'm just saying. There's a farmer I've noticed along 23 who placed a heart in his field with manure over top of the snow. I kid you not. Check it out today. Hey, whatever works for you. Okay? I guess that speaks love in unique ways for farmers. Okay. All right, so here we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 1. I want to read for you the first 15 verses, and I want to draw some principles about our money and our giving this morning. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us, in keeping with God's will. So I urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you have excelled in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here's my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the grace the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. So there will be equality. Just as it is written, he who has gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Now what is going on here? This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And just to kind of set the historical context here a little bit, if you remember, after Jesus' death and resurrection, And after his ascension into heaven, he sends the Holy Spirit of Pentecost, and the church is born in Jerusalem. And Jesus had commanded the disciples, I want you to take this church, and I want you to spread it to the other ends of the earth. I want you to go and make disciples and teach people to follow me. And you know what? Initially, they didn't do it because they were kind of comfortable living there in Jerusalem. And so God sent persecution to scatter the disciples and to move the church out. And so Paul makes a couple different missionary journeys. And on his second missionary journey, he establishes the church. He plants the church from Jerusalem in Corinth. And then he writes to them in 1 Corinthians and then a second letter to them in 2 Corinthians. And we believe, many scholars believe there's actually a third letter in between those two that we don't have. But what's going on here is after this church is in Corinth was planted, a famine hit the homeland or the home church in Jerusalem. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians and encouraging them to give. Now, interestingly, we see in verse 10, last year you were the first to not only give, but also to have the desire to do so. So they, God placed in their hearts to give. Somewhere along the line, though, they got sidetracked and stopped giving to this need. And Paul is now writing them, and he's comparing them actually to the churches at Macedonia. And this would have been the churches at the places of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And he says to them, I want you to be aware about the grace God has given these churches. So I want to walk through this passage and give you seven principles for giving out of this. Seven principles. The first one is this. Every believer, every Christ follower should give financially. Should give financially. Now, where do I get that from? I want you to notice the verses verse 2 and 3 out of chapter 8. Notice how the Macedonian churches gave. Out of the most severe trial, their overwhelming joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Now I know that these messages are coming at a time when our economy is at one of the worst places it's been in a long, long time. But here's the question I have for us. Has any one of us in this room ever really experienced extreme poverty? And maybe you have. Maybe I'm wrong on this. And I don't say any of this to belittle or to diminish some of the hardship that some of you are facing. You know, I see the prayer requests, and we pray for them on Monday mornings. And I understand that some of you are looking for work, and I know some times are tough for some people, but in all of that, have any one of us in this room ever really, really experienced extreme poverty? The Macedonian churches did. And yet, in the middle of that, they chose to give. And notice at the end, notice the end of verse 9, Paul says, the end of verse 7, he says, so see to it that you also excel in this grace of giving. So the first principle from the New Testament is every believer is to give financially. Francis Chan, in his book Crazy Love, said this. He said, if 100 people represents the world's population, 53 of those would live on less than $2 a day. If you make $4,000 a month, you automatically make 100 times more than the average person on this planet. Which is more messed up? That we think we have so much, compared to everyone else, or that we don't think we are rich? That on any given day, we might flippantly call ourselves broke or poor. We are neither of those. We are rich, filthy rich. Now, again, I don't say any of that to diminish some of the hardship some of you are going through. But here, these Macedonian churches, out of extreme poverty, still chose to give. So the principle I draw from that is that every believer should give financially. The second principle I want to give you is every believer should give worshipfully. Worshipfully. Now, what do I mean by that? I want you to turn your attention to chapter 8, verse 8. Paul says in chapter 8, verse 8, he says, I am not commanding you, which is a very interesting line. I would think that if God wanted to continue the commandment of the tithe, which was what it was in the Old Testament, the Israelite people were commanded to give a tenth. That doesn't mean they did it, but they knew that it was a command. They were to give a tenth. Paul says, I am not commanding you. I think if God wanted us to, if he wanted it to be a commandment, this is right where he would have inserted it. Paul would have said, you got to give a tithe. But he doesn't. He says, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it to the earnestness of others. I find that very interesting. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, hey, just like I said at the beginning, it's really easy to gather here in the room and say we love God, right? But what about when we have to reach into our wallet or our purse or our checkbook or our checking account? Do we love God that much then? Paul's saying, I'm challenging you to excel in the grace of giving because I want to test the sincerity of your love. So we are to give worshipfully. Worshipfully. He says it again at the end of chapter 8 in verse 24. He says, therefore, show these men the proof of your love. There it is, the proof of your love. And the reason of our, for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. So just a little bit ago in this service, we passed the offering basket. Now here at CBC we say, you know, we're all about loving God, loving others, and reaching out. And we've worked really hard as a leadership team to be really strategic in saying we want to make sure that everything we do has a primary purpose in one of those three areas. And we would say that the primary purpose of this gathering on a Sunday morning is the love God piece. It's the worship piece. So we don't pass the offering basket in this worship service just because we need to keep the lights on. We pass it because this is part of our worship. This is part of our worship. Yeah, part of our worship is when we, you know, we sing corporately. Part of our worship is when we pray corporately. And part of our worship is when we open God's word together. But part of our worship is also passing the basket and giving back to God. And Paul says, test the sincerity of your love. Do you love God with this as much as you do with this? He's almost saying, put your money where your mouth is. Do you love God that much? So we give worshipfully. The third principle, I want you to keep your fingers in 2 Corinthians. We're going to come right back to that, but I want you to jump over to 1 Corinthians, the first letter of Paul to the church of Corinth. Right at the end of chapter 16, he gives us the next principle. We're going to primarily be in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, but I want to show you this in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 16, verse 2, Paul says, on the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. So the third principle I want to give you is we are to give regularly. We're to give regularly. Now, I did not say weekly, because if you remember last week, I shared with you a little bit about how God has led us to give. We kind of give on a monthly basis. So one of the questions I got this week was, do you have to give one time at the beginning of the month? And the answer is no. The answer is, I don't know how it works for you. I think the principle is that we are giving back and we're giving regularly. Brian Cluth, in his book, 40 Days Spiritual Journey to a More Generous Life, which we've been making available during the series, and I challenge you to get one of these if you haven't already. In fact, this will be, I believe, the last Sunday these are available. You can get them at the table in the back of the NPR. At the close of the service, they're like, we're a suggested donation of $5. But in here, he tells a story about how him and his wife wrestled with this principle. And he said, at first, I didn't understand how the verse could apply to my life. But my wife and I began a Sunday evening practice of looking back and writing down how God provided for us in the previous 7 days. Each week, we discovered that there were many ways that God provided for us outside of our normal income. And he said, he goes on to say that him and his wife then would tithe off of that. Like maybe they got something on special and spent less money than they expected to. And they recorded those things as a testimony of how God had provided for them. And then they gave off of that. And so we are to give regularly. We are to give regularly. The fourth principle is we are to give proportionately. Proportionally. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want you to notice verses 11 and 12. Now finish the work, Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. You started it. You wanted to give. You started to give. Now finish it. Excel in the grace of giving so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it. Now notice these words, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not to what one does not have. Now, it's kind of humbling in one sense for me to teach these lessons, because I know that many of you in the CBC family give way more than I do. Some of you give way more, probably a lot of you give way more the amount than I do, and some of you even give more percentage-wise than I do. But notice what Paul's saying. He's saying, hey, give according to your means. Not all of us are of the same means in this room, right? Paul says, give according to your means. Give proportionately. Give regularly, give worshipfully, give financially, but give proportionately. And I want to say here, I want to mention 1 Timothy 6:10. And I want to mention this fact. It's not wrong to be of means. It's not wrong to have wealth or to be rich in society's mind or anyone's mind. 1 Timothy 6:10 says it's not money that's the root of all kinds of evil. It's the love of money. The love of money can affect any one of us. Right? You can be making next to nothing and still love money. You can be making a lot and still love money. And that's a problem. But it's not wrong to be rich or have money. In fact, some of you, honestly, are very, very gifted. One of your talents is the ability to make money. Some of you are incredible business people. And you're entrepreneurs, and you go after it, and you have the gift and ability to make money. And I say, go for it. Now, keep it in check and make sure you check your heart on that. Make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. But if you're doing it to give back to God, go for it. But give proportionally. So not everyone's going to give the same in this room. Not everyone's going to give the same amount or even the same percentage. But we are to give proportionately as the Lord leads you. The fifth principle, I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but the passage that helps with this is Galatians 6:6, is give locally. Give locally. Now here's what I want you to do. This is not in your notes. But if you're taking notes, after the word locally, I want you to, in parentheses, write the word first. In parentheses, I want you to write the word first. Now, what do I mean by this idea of give locally first? Here's what I mean. You might say, now, that's not fitting with this passage, because you're saying that this passage, they're taking an offering in Corinth to support the church in Jerusalem. Here's the principle. The church in Jerusalem had given the church in Corinth their spiritual nourishment. Okay? They planted the church, and they were being fed kind of from Jerusalem in a sense, okay, until they kind of got established and got on their feet. So if you call CBC your home fellowship, if this is like your home church, and you come in here and you benefit spiritually and you grow spiritually, then I think you should be giving here first. Now, please don't mishear me. I'm not suggesting that the only way you can give to God is to give through CBC. That's not what I'm saying. But I think it would be a problem if you came here and you know, you were being fed spiritually, you were growing spiritually, and you were finding your spiritual life here at CBC, and you were sending all your money to, you know, X, Y, and Z ministry down the road. You know, it's not wrong to give there. Please don't mishear me. And we need to be giving. There's a lot of great ministries in our area. There's a lot of great missionaries that are serving around the world. We should be giving to those ministries and those people. But we need to start here. Start here first. You might say, that's kind of interesting that you would say that. Maybe that sounds self-seeking, but it's the principle that's in God's Word. Give here first. One of the questions that I had this week was someone asked a question. They said, God has laid on our heart to give sometimes to people need within the congregation. I know of people who are in need, and we've been given to that. Is that part of, you know, is that part of our giving? And in one sense, I want to say, yes, it is. It should be. Yes, it should be. In fact, I don't have time to tell the stories, but I heard some great stories this week. Some of the great stories were given to me by email. People here at CBC who were blessed as God laid on other people's hearts to give to them in their need. And that's a beautiful testimony, I think, to the work of Christ in our body here at CBC. But we should be giving first to CBC and then to other places. If CBC is your home church, if you're here this morning and CBC is not your home church, then give to your home church first. Sixth principle is give generously. I want you to Well, we see that again in verses 2 and 3. And then I want you to jump over to chapter 9. And Paul says this in chapter 9, verse 6. He said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Now, last week, I told you about the corn crate principle, and I told you how I learned the principle of the first fruit growing up on the farm. And I share with you that we raised, in our heyday of back in the day in the farm, we raised about 15 acres of sweet corn. Now, it wasn't, like I said last week, it wasn't all planted at one time. It was spread out throughout the summer. We raised 15 acres of sweet corn. In fact, we have a picture. Andy's going to throw up a picture here of this was back in the day on our farm. And there you can see on the left-hand side of that picture the sweet corn growing. And on the right-hand side, you can see kind of our broccoli and cauliflower. We raised between 4 and 5 acres of broccoli and cauliflower in the fall. And there you can see the cauliflower at the far end of the field. That's the same field you saw earlier. And then if you go to the next slide, there you see a load of cauliflower on a wagon. And I don't know who those kids are. I think they're like some of the neighborhood riffraff at the time. You really can't see it here in this picture, but that kid in the middle is the dirtiest, which means he was probably the one that was working the hardest. I don't know what that means. But anyway, a farmer doesn't say, hey, well, you know, normally we have a need for about 15 acres of sweet corn, but I'm just not feeling it this spring. I'm just not feeling it. I mean, I don't feel like working that hard. So I'm just going to plant 1 acre of corn and see if we can't get 15 acres of yield out of it. Right? Would you do that, Glenn? You probably would feel like it sometimes, right? A farmer doesn't say, well, I'm just going to plant just a, 1 acre of corn and hopefully we'll get 15 acres of yield out of it. No, a farmer says, if we need 15 acres of corn, then we got to plant 15 acres of seed, right? So the principle is, are we sowing generously? Are we planting generously with our money? Or are we sowing sparingly? Are we planting just a little bit of seed? Are we planting a lot of seed, right? Paul says we are to give generously. We're to give generously. We should be sowing generously. Now, this does not mean that if we give God a percentage of our income, whatever God lays in our heart to give, that then he's going to make us rich. That's not what that means. Some people teach that. Well, if you just give God 10%, he'll make you rich. Well, he will make you rich, but not necessarily financially. He will make you rich in faith. He will make you rich in generosity, but not necessarily financially. He will provide for your needs. See that over and over again in Scripture. So do you sow sparingly? I'm just going to give a little bit. Well, then you're only going to reap a little bit. Or are you going to sow a lot? Somebody asked me the question this week, and I thought it was a great question. I kind of anticipated somebody giving this. Somebody said, asked a question. A couple people actually asked a question. Do you give off your gross income, like before taxes, or do you give off your net income, like after taxes? And, I can't take you to a chapter and verse in here that says, this is what you're supposed to do. But this verse applies, right? Are you going to sow generously? Or are you going to sow sparingly? And really, that's an issue I think that each one of us need to wrestle through with. What's God leading us to do when it relates to our finances? Lastly, last principle, we got to look at chapter 9, verse 7. It says this, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So the last principle I want to give you is we need to give joyfully. We should be giving joyfully. Not out of compulsion, not begrudgingly, joyfully. So, 7 principles. Here they are. We're to give, every believer should give financially, give worshipfully, give regularly, give proportionally, give locally, give generously, and give joyfully. So, you're probably asking a question. Well, if God doesn't in the New Testament command us to give the tithe, why did you teach us about that last week? How do we put all this together? I taught that last week not as a command, but as a principle. I believe the principle from the Old Testament is still a good principle for us to follow. And you heard some of the elders mention this last week in the video, if you were here with us. The principle of the tithe is a good principle. It's a good starting point, if you will. Coming into the New Testament, God doesn't command us. You can see it in this passage. Paul doesn't say, he's not commanding them. He said, I want to test your love. So it's a good principle to follow. The principle of the first fruits, same thing. Are we worshiping God with our checkbook as well as with our mouth? And so to put it all together, I would say it this way. The heart of the matter when it comes to giving is a matter of the heart. Are we able to do it joyfully? Are we able to do it worshipfully? Are we able to do it generously? And I would say that when the offering basket goes by, if you can't give that gift joyfully and from the heart as an act of worship to God, then I'm not sure God wants your gift. I'm not sure God wants your gift. Now, if you can't give joyfully, I would encourage you to pray and ask God that you can get to that place. I would pray and I would ask you to pray and ask God that you can get to the place that you can sow generously. So the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. Now, what I want to do as we wrap up our time together, the application, I think, for this message is for each of us to do the same thing that we did that I asked you to do last week, is to go home and really wrestle with what is God asking me to give? What is God asking us to give? You know, what percentage does He want us to work from? What does He want us? How does He want us to give? And then learn to excel in the grace of giving. What I want to do as we wrap up our time